It's a very, very big COVID to have with us somebody whose name we don't have to, as we see from the crowd itself, maybe we have a place that wants to come every day, we can fill up the Beis Medrash. But we don't have to talk, even introduce him. His name goes far and wide. And the Hussai, you have today Rabbonim, you have Magdish Yurim, you have Rosh Yeshivas. And I think, you know, if we think, he told about Pesach Kron, what he's done in the world today, it's something phenomenal. How many people he's inspired. And at the same time, you know, he's a person that went out to make a living and shows that, you know, it's a Yisoid HaGadol. Wherever you're going to be, Avada, we always speak, or Yisoid of our Yeshiva, we spoke a few in the orientation, is the Yisoid that our mission statement of this Yeshiva is to create a person that has a love of Torah, a love of Yiddishkeit. And whatever you're going to be in life, wherever you're going to take it with you, and not only inspire yourselves, but inspire others. And without further ado, we want to introduce our Rav Pesach Kron to give us words of inspiration that so desperately needed this time of Elul, weeks before Rosh Hashanah. And we heard once Gvaldik Yisoy that, you know, a person has the computer button, everything can work, if you don't press the word enter, the mice and nothing works, you know, you have to press that word enter. So the words could be out there, like the Svasema says, V'hoyu Advarim Eil Alev Avecha. You put the words on your heart, but at the end of the day, it's the person himself who has to open up the heart a little bit, the words can enter. So if Mitzvah I know, Rav Kron will put wonderful words on our hearts, so let's open the hearts, let the words sink in, and let's be inspired to have a wonderful Rosh Hashanah.
It is a great thrill and a great chus to be able to speak to all of you. I thank the Rosh Yeshiva and my dear cousin Yossi for inviting me to come to speak to all of you. I mean, first and foremost, I mean, to see, I don't even know his Hebrew name. I know it's Ira. What is your Hebrew name today? Oh, Rav Yisrael. He was so cute when he was a little boy. Oh, what did he want? You can't imagine what kind of family he comes from. His father was the most erlichste, the most straightest yid, the most honest person that you could imagine. Now, we know that many of the German families, the Yekesha families, they, Rav Shamshon Folhush used to say, and I said this over at his kever in Frankfurt, that a person not only has to be an ish kosher, that means he has to do things ben adam lamokim, but he has to be an ish yosher. He has to be an honest person. So there's an adam kosher and an adam yosher. And that's what the Katzenstein family always was. Who would ever believe from these little boys that grew up in Kew Gardens, he would have two Rosh Yeshivas, one over here and one, his brother, Rav David, one more extraordinary than the other. It's just so great. We haven't seen each other in years. But Shemoy Heilich Lafonov, it's just incredible. And, you know, my dear cousin who's sitting right over here, Rabbi Leo, that's Yossi's older brother, Rabbi Yosef's older brother. Man, he was a great first baseman, let me tell you. And a great Pittsburgh Pirate fan. But then he became a big Yerushalmayim. And I think that's what the Rosh Yeshiva is talking about. You could be a normal human being, and you can grow up and become a real person that makes a difference. When Rabbi Yosef drove me here, he wanted that I should see a certain film. And the last part of the film moved me very much. It was one of the final brachas that Rav Scheinberg gave. And Rav Scheinberg gave a very interesting bracha. He said, I want all the bachrim that they should become frum and erlach to such a degree that their children will be proud of their frumkeit and their erlachkeit. And I think that's what the Rosh Yeshiva was talking about. We are here today, we're each really a cog in the chain. It's a long chain that goes back all the way to Har Sinai. And each one of us continues that chain. We're an extra link. And that's when we come here, and we're a link in the chain of Klal Yisrael until Mashiach. I see Rabbi Krause's grandson here. It's very special to me. You know why? Because I remember when his father came to Tervidas, he was a little boy. barely in high school. He's a kid. Where did your father come from? Pittsburgh? Or the
My father?
Yeah. Your grandfather, I mean. Pittsburgh or Detroit? I don't know why. We had a whole bunch of kids from out of town, and his father was Eilal Kulon. His grandfather, I mean. And his grandfather today is a Poisik in Los Angeles. He went with me on one of the trips that we took to Radin. If you take a look at the book, Traveling with the Maggid, you'll see his Zaidi is sitting there up front with all the Talmid Chachamim that came with us, you know, to Radin. And my dear cousin, Yossi Krohn, I mean, I don't know if I should tell you this, but yesterday we had the greatest day ever. And you never saw this guy, and it wasn't ATVing. What was it called? What? Jeeping. Oh my gosh. We had a great time. I mean, my grandkids loved it. I almost went through the ceiling, you know, from the bouncing. But that's what I love about my cousin, and that's what I love about this yeshiva. Because the more I found out about the yeshiva, it's regular guys who are going to grow and be mature and going to accomplish. Some will be Rosh Yeshiva, some will be businessmen. It makes no difference. Hashem wants you to be the best that you can be. The most important lesson that I think that I can teach you is that I don't have to be like you, you don't have to be like me, and both of us don't have to be like him. Each of us have to be the best that we can be. That's all Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't need another Rosh Yeshiva like him. Hashem needs you to be the best that you can be. That's all. That's what we're here for in this world. And that's the greatest yesod as we begin to prepare for Elul. So I want to tell you something fascinating. You know there's a pasuk, and if anybody wants to take notes and look up the pasuk, you can look it up. It's in Amos, which is one of the Treyosar, Perigimel, Pasuk Ches, and it tells us like this. Aryeh Shog. If a lion roars, Mila Yira, wouldn't you be afraid? Imagine you're walking on Rachom Shamgara, you're walking on, you know, Mea Sharam. You see a lion roaring. Everybody would be afraid, right? So, Mefarshim say, Aryeh, a lion, you know what it stands for? Aleph, Reish, Yud, Hey. Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, Hashanah Rabbah. Aryeh, this lion, these days are roaring to us. Mila Yira, wouldn't you be afraid? Everybody thinks a little bit, you know, it's time to change, time to grow. So anybody would be afraid. So I remember one night, Kol Nidre, the Rav in my shul, Rabbi Teitelbaum, he said something adorable. He said, we know that many Mefarshim say, Aryeh Shog, if a lion roars, wouldn't you be afraid? He said, you know, I took my kids last Chol Hamoed Sukkos to the Bronx Zoo. And we were walking, all of a sudden we heard a lion roar in the distance. We weren't afraid. Nobody was afraid. He says, you know why? Because the lion was in a cage. So if the lion's in a cage, who cares if he roars? And then he said something genius. He said that take a look. If you open up your siddur, you take a look, Hashanah Rabbah, literally the last prayer, the last tefillah on Hashanah Rabbah. You know what it says? It's amazing. It says, Yehi Ratzon, Hashem, it should be your will. Shetosir mechitzas habarzel hamafsekes beinenu ubeinecha. Remove that iron bar that's between me and you, Hashem. That's what we say. And Rav Teitelbaum Teicher, what does that mean? There's an iron bar? Iron bars between us and Hashem? So Rav Teitelbaum said a great thing. He said, if you put God in the cage, you got nothing to be afraid of. Right? He's not getting out of the cage. He's not bothering you. It's like a lion. That's what we're asking. There shouldn't be any hefsek. Any separation shouldn't be an iron separation. So of course we hear those days roar, but I want to tell every single one of you that we should not be broken in Elul. You know why? Because Balak taught us a great lesson. You know what Balak says about the Jewish nation? Hein om kelavi yakum. They can get up like a young lion, ucha'ariyis nasa, and they raise themselves like a roaring lion. Now there's no question. We hear these days roaring to us. Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hashanah Rabbah. Who doesn't get more serious? But we shouldn't be broken about that. Because we can answer. And I'm going to show you how we can answer. How we can answer Hashem. How we can answer this roar. But we have to be able to hear the roar. We have to be associated with Hashem. Through our tefillah. Through our davening. Through our learning. Through our benodim l'chaveray. And when we feel a closeness to Hashem, we feel that roar. But we're going to be able to answer back. And I want to show you how we're going to do that. You see, many of you know that I am a moel. That's my full-time profession. And the most favorite part of being a moel is helping people when it comes to Jewish names. Now, a lot of the people that I do brisin for are not religious. You can't imagine how many kids are named Pesach. right? They need a P? I say, hey, I got a great name for you, right? So a lot of these people, I mean, they have weird ideas about names. There was one guy in Hewlett many years ago. He said, Rabbi, I'm going to name my baby a name that you never heard of. I was a male at that time, 30 years. I said, come on, there's no name that you could think of that I never heard of. I said, what'd you name him? What do you name him? Christopher? You know, so he says, no, Justin. I said, come on, there's a lot of babies named Justin. No, he says, the middle name. I said, what's that? He named his kid Time. He named his kid Justin Time. Did you believe that? Okay, now you try to give a Jewish name to a kid named Justin Time, right? You know, this Manai Beitoya, I mean, what are you talking about? So, you know, people have weird ideas about names, but names are very important. Because if you go to a mukubal, the mukubal will tell you what your name is all about and how your name defines your life. Now, I don't think that until a person dies you can really define what a person's life is all about. But many, many people have told me now that, and I've seen this, that the Arizal says that when your parents give you a name, it's Ruach HaKodesh. You think they're naming you after an uncle, after a Zaidi, after a great friend or whatever. But there's a Ruach HaKodesh because there were a lot of people that could have chosen their names. Now, I'll just give you an example. I'm a little embarrassed to tell you this, but my name is Pesach Yosef, right? He knows that since I'm a little boy. Now, so some people have said, what is Pesach? When it comes to the Haggadah, we say Pesach, a mouth that speaks. And Yosef means a lot. And I speak a lot, right? Isn't that incredible? Believe me, my father, my mother, when they named me at my bris, they were not thinking about my becoming a speaker. But isn't that incredible? Pesach Yosef. It's just really amazing. So that, I'm sure that's not the only definition of my life, but you see, in a name, it's where every letter is important. And as a matter of fact, it's written in Svarim. Let's say that, for example, there was a Bubby who passed away. Her name was Malka. So how do you choose a boy's name? You want to name it after the grandmother. So it says in Mefarshim, use as many of the letters as you can. So Malka is easy because you could use Melech. But let's say if you want to use, let's say a boy's name was Yerachmiel, a grandfather. Now you want to name a girl. What letters are you going to use from Yerachmiel? So I've thought of many times Rachel. Because Reish, Ches, Lamed all appear in the name of Yerachmiel. So you try to use as many letters as possible. And when I wrote the book for art school on Bris Mila, there was a whole section on names. And the thing that absolutely blew my mind was one night I was writing, and this is so important, that's why it's so important to be named after a good person. It mentions Rabbi Lamelech. The Rebbe Rabbi Lamelech writes that when you're named after someone, there's a connection between your neshama and that person's neshama. So the two souls are connected forever. So I was very touched by that. Because that means that the parents have to make a very serious thought. Who do they want the neshama of their child to be attached to? That's why you don't name after a bad person. A person who was cruel, a person who had a bad mazel. It's not just that you don't want to remember him. You're defiling the neshama of a child if he's named after a wicked person. A guy who had a raging temper. You don't want your child to be named after that. You don't want Chas V'Shalom that the child should be that. So I was so moved by that. It was in the early 1980s. I didn't have a computer. So I took out the piece of paper and watch this. You'll all figure this out in a second. I wrote down that there's a connection to the neshama. How do you spell neshama? What are the two middle letters of the word neshama? Who can think of that? Shame. Isn't that crazy? It's amazing. I couldn't believe it. Here, the Reverend Rabbi Lamelech says there's a connection between the name and the neshama, and in the word neshama itself, you got the word name. Not only that. So what's the nun and the hey on the outside? The nun and the hey, I thought of, and then somebody showed me. It's a Zoya. Ner Hashem. That's what the neshama is all about. On the outside, it's nun, hey, ner Hashem, nishmas Adam. The spark of Hashem is in your soul. And what's the essence of your soul? Your name, who you're connected to. Every letter in your name is important. So watch this. Hashem says to Avraham Avinu before he's going to have his bris, you know something? I'm going to change your name. And that's why boys get their name out of bris. Because Avraham, before he had his bris, what was he called? He had been called Avraham. And now he's called Avraham. So, okay, great. But now, before the bris, Hashem says, wait a second. I got something else to tell you. Vayomer l'kim al Avraham. Hashem says to Avram right before the bris, Sarai Yishtecha, your wife Sarai, she's not going to be called Sarai anymore. Ki Sara Shemor, I'm giving her a hay. So I was thinking, Hashem, you got 22 letters in the alphabet, right? You gave her a hay. Couldn't find another letter to give his wife? Why the same letter? What's so special about the hay? And I think I know the answer. Because I came up with this answer. You know what the Gemara says in Menachos? Hashem, Eile Toda Shemayim Va'aretz. This is the history of the world. Behi Baram, when he created them. And you know what the Gemara says? Behei Baram. Hashem created the world with a hay. What does that mean? I want to show you a hay. You tell me, what does this mean? See this hay? What does that mean? Hashem created the world with a hay. Remember this. What is this? And listen to this great thought that the Gemara says. You know what the Gemara says? The floor of the hay. There's no floor. You know why? Because if a guy or a girl is not perfect, they can fall all the way down. There's no end to the depths of sin and immorality and secularism and immodesty and materialism that a person can fall. But a person has to know, no matter what happened in the past, forget about it. You know why? Because this door is open for tshuva. Hey is the letter of tshuva. That's what Gemara says. Hashem created the world with hay because we all can come back. No matter where we were, what we watched, what we did, what we said, who we hung out with, we could always come back. And now we'll see something from the tour. You wouldn't believe it. You would think a Hasidic Rebbe said it. What is the bracha of tshuva in Shemon Esra? Hashiveinu, right? Hashiveinu, if you count it, is the fifth bracha. That's number hay. How does Hashiveinu begin? With the letter hay. How does it end? Baruch atah Hashem haroitza b'tshuva. What letter does it end with? Hey. 5 and 5 is 10. That's the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. That's what the Torah says. That's what we're going to talk about. This is the way we're going to come back. Because we could all come back. No matter where we were and what we did, we're going to roar back to Hashem. And we're going to answer. We're going to walk in through this door. Because no matter what happened in the past, it's over. It's finished. This door is always open. That's what it means that Hashem created the... And that's, of course, now we can understand. It had to be a hay. Avraham Avinu was the father of all Balei Tshuva. So he had to get the hay. And Sarai was the mother of all the women who did Tshuva. She also had to get the hay. There was no choice. Hashem had to give them that letter. So you see what one letter means in a name. So later, think about your name and think about the meaning. And you could look up other people who held that name. And you know, Rav Moshe has a very interesting tshuva. It's amazing. Rav Moshe says that sometimes, you know, you should never know from it, but many times, Mitzvah Hashem, when you get married, there's a lot of pressure when it comes to names. A grandmother or even your own parent will want you to name after somebody in the family, and you're not interested. You are not close to that parent, but they're putting a lot of pressure on you. And especially, there's sometimes a guy is about tshuva, and he comes from a family that was not from him. He doesn't want a name now after somebody that's not from him. You know what Ramesha says? If let's say you got to use the name Yitzchak, for example. And the grandfather was a Michal Shabbos. I just got this call last night. I have a bris on Wednesday. And the guy says, listen, I became a Baal Tshuva years ago. My Zaidi was not from. He was not a Yerushimayim. And my father wants me to name after him. This mamash, it's happening this week when I get back. So I told him what Ramesha says. Think of a tzaddik who had that name. Think of either Yitzchak Avinu or Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, any tzaddik that had that name, and then that's the connection to the neshama. So being connected with the neshama through the name is very important. So now we know why Avram had the hay and Sarai had the hay, and what does it mean that the world was created with a hay, and the chizuk that we should all get, that we could all walk in through that door, because that door is always open for us. So let me tell you something, that I'm moved every single year. You know, on Yom Kippur, one of the most moving tefillahs is that tefillah that we say also on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Nesana Tokef. And anybody who's got a heart, and anybody who's spending some time thinking about the meaning of the tefillahs, who doesn't cry? Mi yichye, mi amus. Who's going to live? Who's going to die? Mi anuach, who's going to rest? Mi anuach, who's going to wander? Mi ani, who's going to become poor? Mi asher. And it can happen to anyone. Today you open up any newspaper, any Jewish newspaper, you see young kids that are sick. Shrek, like, terrible. I don't even want to describe what kind of awful, awful accident there was here in Yerushalayim the other night. If you don't know from it, you should never know from it. I can't even describe it. It was so horrendous. Nebuch. A terrible, terrible car accident, and how many people in the family were injured and killed. Just absolutely horrendous. It happens every day. Nobody knows what tomorrow brings. Me, I always feel that before, and it's not a tekev. Now, of course, you can't talk, because it's, especially on Rosh Hashanah, because you can't talk in the middle of Tkiyas Shofar. But I would think Yom Kippur, all the Rav has to do in any shul, just get up, just read all the people who died the past year, all the people who got sick, all the people who lost their money. Of course, he can't do it. It's embarrassing. But boy, that would straighten out everybody, because I once heard a great expression. You know, you always think things happen to the other guy. To the other guy, you're the other guy. You know, we always think, nah, it never happened to me. The other guy, he loses his money. But he thinks, you know, he loses the money. So anything can happen. But then, in the next paragraph, we say three words. Tshuva, tfila, utstaka. Mavirin, esroya, zera. Tshuva, repentance, tfila, davening, tstaka. Giving charity, being kind to others. That removes the terrible zera. Now, we know there's a lot of zeras out there in Klal Yisrael today. Even look at what the government is doing to all the yeshivas, and what the government is doing to all the frum guys and the frum families. There are a lot of terrible gzeiras out there. So that means we still got to improve in those three. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. So you know what always wondered, made me wonder? Why did they pick these three? What's so special about these three? And I'll tell you what I think the answer is. You know what the answer is? Tshuva's inward, tefillah's upward, and tzedakah's outward. Those are the three directions of a human being. Inward, upward, and outward. And if we can work on ourselves in the next days until Yom Kippur, or until Hashanah Rabbah, inward, upward, and outward, we're going to be different people. We're going to be elevated people. You know what the Baba Rebbe once said? We know Elul stands for a lot of different things. He came up with something great. Elul stands for Echad La'Oila, the Echad La'Chatas. Echad la'oilav echad la'oilav. You know what that means? That means we look back at the past year. So some guy's going to say, oh, I wasn't so great. I did a lot of averis. I did things I shouldn't have done. I'm not proud of it. So that's the guy, echad la'chatas. He looks at it, my life was chatas, I sinned, I got to change. But there's some guys could say, hey, echad la'oilav, I grew a lot last year. I didn't think I was still going to be in yeshiva, and here I am. I didn't think I would be able to learn 40 blot, and here I am. I didn't think I'd make minyan, you know, every day. You know, for a month straight. And I did it. So, echad la'ayla. So now this year, he's got to shtag. He's got to grow higher. So everybody's got to grow in Elul. Some guys got to grow in the way of chatas. Some guys got to improve in Oila. We always got to improve. So, let's talk for a minute. What's inward, what's upward, and what's outward. So I'll tell you an amazing thing. And it's a very painful story to listen to. But it happened in our neighborhood in Kew Gardens after you left. And this happened a couple years ago. Terrible, terrible story. The day before Yud Zayin Tammuz, before Shivasava Tammuz, there was a fire in our neighborhood on Hillside Avenue. And there was a family by the name of Silbergleit. And this family, Rachmana Litzlan, they were caught in the fire Shabbos morning. And the grandmother passed away. She was burned immediately. An older daughter was burned. And then there was a young girl, Masha Miriam. And she was very, very burned severely, and she was mamish hanging on to life. Everybody gave tzedakah, everybody davened. It was just awful to see Menashe, who had, he's still, till to this day, it's 20 years later, he's still got breathing problems, and he's always in the hospitals, in and out, from that fire. And then, unfortunately, on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, she passed away. Now, on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, you're not allowed to give a hesped. You can't give a eulogy. But I'm telling you, in that shul, or in that funeral parlor, when they brought in that little coffin, nobody had to say anything. Thank you so much. You didn't have to give a hesped, nothing. You see that little girl brought in that closed coffin, that was enough to rip everybody's neshama, because then you saw Menashe walking in on crutches. Okay, his wife wasn't hurt, but still, you knew she lost her mother, and she lost two daughters. It was absolutely awful. What in the world are you going to say? What can you say? There's nothing to say. So, and besides, it's Chol HaMoed, so there's nothing you're allowed to say anyway. You can't even say a hesped. So the only thing that you could say was divrei chizuk, words of strength. So at that time, there was a fellow, Rabbi Arya Ginsburg, who learned the Chavetz Chaim, very big pekeach Talmud Chacham. He had a daughter. She should be well. She's married already, I believe, today. But at that time, she was a little kid in Masha Miriam's class. And he got up to say divrei chizuk. And he said an amazing thing, which is really a life's lesson. And he said like this. On Yom Kippur, when we cry again, we talk about the Asar Haruge Malchus, and we talk about Rabbi Shmuel, who was tortured to death. It says the Malachim, they cried out with bitterness. Sarfei Mala, Tzoku B'mora. They cried out with bitterness. And they said, Zu Torah V'zu Schara. This is the Torah, this is Schara. How can you do that? You kill Rabbi Akiva, you kill Rabbi Shmuel, kill all these tzaddikim. Hashem, what are you doing? So what does Hashem answer? On Sabas Kom Shemayim, a voice comes out from heaven and says, Im Esh Makol Acher, if I hear one more voice, I'm going to bring back the world to emptiness. So the Gaon said, what kind of answer is that? That's a legitimate question. You see a tzaddik die, a tzaddik is tortured. So let Hashem say, it's not your business. I got a chesed. What kind of answer is this? If you say one more word, I'm going to bring back the world to emptiness. Well, what does it mean? What kind of answer is that? So the Vilna Gaon gives a tremendous parable, a tremendous example. And he says like this. Imagine there's a king who wants to have the most gorgeous suit made. So, he's got to hire a tailor. So this particular king in his kingdom, the best tailor was a Jew. But he was an anti-Semite. He hated Jews. So what's he going to do? How's he going to call this tailor? But he had no choice because this was the best tailor. So he calls the tailor and he says, listen, I want you to make me the most gorgeous suit. Nobody ever would have seen a suit like this. He says, Your Honor, that's fine. Give me a certain amount of material, I'll make you the suit. Gives him very expensive material. The tailor tells him how much he needs, and he makes the suit. A few weeks later, he brings back the suit. The king brings on the suit. He puts it on. He looks fabulous. So looks like $1 million. So what happens? Everybody's praising the king, and all of a sudden, the queen walks in. She hates Jews even more than he does. She takes a look at him. She says, Your Honor, you look great, but that tailor, he's a ganav. What do you mean he's a ganav? He says, don't you understand? He told you to give him so much material. And he talked and made a suit. But look how much, he didn't use all the material. He kept so much of it for himself. So now he's got expensive material that he got from you for free. And he just fooled you by saying he's going to make a suit. And he says, wow, you know, I didn't even think of that. That's amazing. He calls in the tailor. He says, you gonna, you know, my wife is right. The suit looks great. But where's all the material? So the tailor says, Your Honor, please change into another suit. I want to show you something. Get me a table and get me a scissors. Okay, takes off the beautiful suit, puts it down on a table. Tailor starts cutting it. Hey, wait, what are you doing? Okay, which way? You stay right here in your suit, your regular suit. I'm going to show you something. He starts cutting apart the cuffs. He shows him that it's double and triple lined. It's made exactly perfect. He cuts the inside of the jacket. Wait, what are you doing? Well, I want to show you. It's not only the pocket is nice, but it's deep. You can put things in there, and it's double lined and triple lined, and the waist is seamless. Everything cuts apart the whole suit. The guy says, what are you doing? The king says, measure it. Measure it. And he measures out all the material, the exact amount that he gave him. He says, all right, now what are you going to do with the suit? Well, it's too late. The suit is finished. He says, but you ruined the suit. He said, but at least now you understand what happened. Now you understand the cheshbon. And the Gaon says, that's what Hashem said to the Malachim. Hashem said to the Malachim, what does it say in the beginning of the Torah? V'horetz hoysa soyu v'voyu. The world was empty. So Hashem said to the Malachim, listen to me. I'm going to take apart the whole world. I'm going to bring it back right from the beginning. And then you measure out and you figure out and you'll see exactly what I was doing. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim tells us. Imagine, you know, we say Asherah three times a day, right? We say this pasuk, Shemar Hashem eskola yavov eskola rishayim yashmid. So imagine a guy comes late to shul. This is what he hears. Eskola Yavov, all who Hashem loves, the Eskola Rishayim, and all the Rishayim, Yashmid, he's going to wipe out. Excuse me, God, what are you doing? You're wiping out? Excuse me, sir, you walked in late. Like a guy walks in late to the shul, he's going to ask a question. Come on. Well, what happened if a guy dies early? Listen to what he hears. Shemir Hashem, Eskola Yavov, Hashem protects all who he loves, the Eskola Rishayim, and all the Rishayim. Hey, God, what are you protecting the Rishayim? Excuse me, sir, you left early. Right? You had to go to the bathroom. Or you had to go text somebody. You didn't get to the back at the end of the pasuk, so of course you don't know what's happening. How many years do we live? 70, 80, 90 years? It's nothing compared to 6,000 year span. How can anybody ask any kashis? You're not around to figure out the whole thing. That's what the Goyen was saying. A person, and that's what Rabbi Ginsburg was saying. Many times we go through a tzara and we just don't understand why is it happening. The answer is we haven't lived long enough to see the master plan. And that's what I think, that's the tshuva that we have to understand. Every single one of us has gone through challenges. That's what Golus is all about. We've all gone through difficult times. But a person has to know Hashem made it so that we're tested. Hashem is testing us. I will never forget. I was once walking with a Baal Tshuva outside Ur Sameach. Today's a Chosher Rav in Cincinnati. So he said to me, you know, one guy once asked me, this Baal Tshuva saying, he said, you know, how come Hashem made me frum from birth and he made you a Baal Tshuva? So the guy on the spot says, because God didn't trust you. Great answer. It's a great answer. God was afraid. I make you, you know, before Baal Tshuva, you'll never get out of there. But God trusted me. He was able to rely on me. And that's what the answer is. And Hashem said to Eiv, Eiv was asking, hey, Hashem, how come, what, my name is not Oyev? I'm not your enemy. What are you doing to me? Hashem says, Eifu ha-yisav yosteras. Where were you when I created the world? Haget, you tell me, Emiyodatibina, you're so smart. In other words, we have a limited perspective. I just want to close this part of the talk with something that a guy told me just a while ago. This guy, Nebuch, had gotten divorced. He had a difficult time finding a shidduch, and he found a shidduch, and it only lasted a year, and he told me he was destroyed. He couldn't get back to himself. He went to Rabbonim, he went to therapists, nothing happened. He said, one night I was listening to a CD, and I heard a Rav say something, and now I understood it all. I said, what was that? Listen to this. And now I have this underlined in my siddur. He said, every morning we make the bracha, she'osa li kol tzarki. Hashem, I thank you that you made all my, you've provided my needs. Does anybody here know, except for the Rebbeim? Let's start that way. Who knows? You know what you're supposed to think of? I'll give you a free CD if you could tell me. What are you supposed to think of when you say this bracha every morning, she'osa li kol tzarki? Hashem, you provided all my needs. Anybody know? What are you supposed to think of? Everybody know? What? All for the good, yeah, but there's something specific you're supposed to think about.
Shoes.
Yeah, very good. But you, what were you going to say, shoes? Okay, I'll give you both CDs. I'm not cheap. Okay? But you're right, shoes. You're supposed to think of shoes. So, right. That's why you don't make the bracha in the morning. Very good, excellent. Great, you deserve a CD too. Excellent. He's right. That's why you don't say it, Tisha B'Av in the morning, because you don't wear shoes. So I ask you, what does that mean? If you got shoes, you got all your needs? So the Mishnah explains, because without shoes, you can't go to learn, can't go to work, can't go to buy food, you can't go anywhere, you can't even go to a ball game, right? If you got no shoes, you're grounded, finished. So listen to this. So that Rav on the CD says, somebody once asked Rebbe Rav Zisha, he said, Rebbe, what do you think of when you say that bracha? You don't even wear shoes, you don't got a pair of shoes, you don't even own a pair of shoes. What are you thinking about? You're so poor. Listen to what he said, it's absolutely genius. He said, imagine if a king had a suit that was worth $1,000, and now he's selling it. He's selling it for $300. So you go buy, it's a big bargain. You put on the suit, and it's too big. So what do you do? It's not a problem. You go to the tailor, and he takes it in. Now what happens if it's too small? Not a problem. You go to the tailor, he takes it out. But what if it's a pair of shoes? If you wear size 7, and the king wears size 10, nothing you can do with those shoes. And just the opposite, if you wear size 10 and the king wears size 7, you can't do anything with his shoes. Shoes have to be made exactly to your size. He says, that's what I think of, Rabbi Zisha said. I'm not thinking about my shoes, I'm thinking about the concept of shoes. Shoes have to be made exactly to what your needs are. He said, now I understand. Hashem is not angry at me, he's testing me. He gave me this nesoyan. My nesoyan, my difficulty in life is exactly like a pair of shoes. Because God wants to see how I relate to Him in this difficult time. That's the pshat she'osali kotzorki. That's why a person shouldn't be broken. Because this matzav that we have right now is not going to last forever. Everything changes. Nothing remains the same forever. So we can change it by becoming better, by relating to Hashem in difficult times, by davening. That's what it's all about. That's she'osali kotzorki. And that's the first part that I believe. That's what Shuva is all about. That we remain friendly with Hashem. Anila doidi v'doidi li. He's my friend, I'm his friend. That's what it's all about. And that we don't get angry and we don't get frustrated at the spot that we're in right now or the situation that we find ourselves. Because that's what the tshuva is. Coming close, removing that mechitzas habarzel from Hashem, and knowing this is what He wants from us at this time, and to see how we relate to Him. Now let's go to the second part. You know what I believe the part of tefillah is all about? Saying thank you. You know, we don't concentrate on Moedim and Shemin Esra. We concentrate, Rufayin Hashem, heal us, Baruch Aleinu, give us Parnasa, bring us Yerushalayim, all the good things that we need. What about Moedim, saying thank you? We have so much to be grateful for. You know, one of my favorite stories, this cute kid goes into a food store. And the guy behind the counter sees the cute kid, he gives him a banana. So the mother says, what two words do you say to the nice man behind the counter? Little boy says, peel it. Of course, the kid never heard thank in his life. What does David HaMelech say? Peacefully shari tzedek, open up the gates of righteousness. What are the gates? The gates of the Beis Medrash, the gates of the Beis HaKnesses. Oh, voivom, I'm going to come there. What am I going to do? Oideka, I'm going to say thank you. When was the last time we concentrated on Moedim? Moedim should take 3-4 minutes. That's a long time. I'm not asking anybody to do 3-4 minutes. But you know, a woman called me up recently, and she said, Rabbi Krohn, you know, I need chizuk. I got so many problems. And I'm thinking, what am I, instant coffee? Like, you know, well, you need chizuk. I don't even know you. But okay, fine. You know, today I was brought up, Chaim Kanievsky. You know, we didn't even get in, and I had to come back because I knew I had to be here on time, and this is more important. Rav Chaim would rather that I come here than, you know, see me. That's for sure. So, you know, so I gave it up. But I was thinking, look at all these guys that are standing around. It must be so difficult for him to give chizuk to every single person. He doesn't know any of these people. And everybody comes, right? But one of the things that we have to remember, besides the problems, is that we have so much good. So I said to this lady, I said, I'll give you homework. You want to have chizuk? I'll give you homework. Write out all the good things you have in life. And every one of us here has good things. Some of us have good parents. Some of us have good siblings. Okay, some of us have crazy brothers. So you don't have to put that on your card, right? And when a guy gets married, he's got a crazy wife. Don't put that on your card. But I'm talking mitzvah Hashem. You marry a wonderful person who will be your best friend. Write down a spouse, write down a house, write down the Rosh Hashiva. When was the last time you thanked Hashem? Moedim, thank you. We have such a great Rosh Hashiva. Right? Yeah, give him a round of applause. He deserves it. I saw that video. I'm telling you,
Everybody has to be by night in it tonight.
It's not that great. No. I saw the video. I'm telling you, most Rosh Hashivas wouldn't do what he does. Gets into the neshama of the Talmidim. It's unbelievable. That video is priceless. When was the last time we thanked? We got a great bunch of guys here. When did we thank? Yeah, that's right. Everybody was great. Okay, morning Seder also. Right? So, something to think about. Think about it. There's so much great things that we have. Even life, for heaven's sake. We can all dance, we can sing, we can talk, we can eat, we can jump. You know, go to a hospital overnight. Just watch. Go from ward to ward. And you'll see. It's unbelievable. You know, some guys are on, you know, life support. I always tell the guys in Lakewood, you know, they want life support. I said, go to the hospital. You get life support. You know? No such thing as a guy getting life support. It's an equal thing. But, you know, that's a different parsha. But the point is, there's a lot to be grateful for. And that's what Moedim is all about. I'll tell you an amazing story. It happened right here in Yerushalayim. There's a wonderful organization called Ezer Mitzion. Ezer Mitzion is an organization that helps people that have medical problems. So the guy who runs it, his name is Hananya Chalak, or Shalak, however he pronounces it. So he told me the story himself. He told me there was a guy who called him from Europe, a very wealthy man. He said, you know, I heard about your organization. It's a great organization. I want to come and give you money. He said, okay, great. I'll meet you in the Yerushalayim office. He comes, he meets him in Yerushalayim, and afterwards, Hananya says to him, listen, you know, you're from Europe. You don't get a chance to go to the Kaisel. Let's go daven Meirev. I know it's late at night, but it's so beautiful. Let's go daven at the Kaisel at night. And it really is special. They come there. It's quiet in the plaza. It's beautiful. And then they see in the front a guy by the Kaisel. He's crying. His hands are raised. They can't make out what he's davening. But they're so moved by his voice and his crying and his tefillah. So they stop and they just watch this guy. And finally, Hananiah turns to this guy and says, you know, we got to help him. He says, would you agree with me? If it's anything medical, I'll take care of it. And if it's financial, are you asking him to help him? Whatever you say, Hananiah, let's go help this guy. So they wait till he finishes davening, and they come there, and they go over to him. Hi, good evening. So, yeah, how's everything? Fine. What do you mean, fine? Everything's fine? Yeah, just wonderful. Come on, you don't know who I am. You know, we saw you davening. You know, my name is Hananiah. I'm from Ezer Metzia, and anything that your family needs medically, I'll help. And finances, my friend here will help. Guy says to him, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Everything's wonderful. Wonderful. You've been gobbling like the world's coming to an end. What do you mean wonderful? Listen to what the guy said. The first 10 times I told over this story, I used to cry every time. He said, last night, my wife and I married off our youngest child. Tonight, I came to say thank you to Hashem. Imagine that. That's how you say thank you. Go to the Kaiser, cry your eyes out. Just tell Hashem, thanks. You brought me in this world. You gave me friends. You gave me a Rebbe. You gave me life. I can come back. Anybody can come back. That's what your door is open for in the hay. I'm here for you. I'm here to serve you. I want to do it on my own terms, but you accept that. I want to be close to you, Hashem. I want to feel that I'm an Erlich Hayid. And I have the great opportunity to be in Eretz Yisrael. You know, I told my grandchildren, you know, we were walking Shabbos in the street. I mean, you know, one grandson comes from Queens, you know, where I am, another one from Baltimore. I mean, you look around, you're Shalayim, you think the whole world is from, right? We're walking in the street, we own this place, we own the world. Jews around here walk around like they own the world, right? Even in the middle of the week. But you walk out of here, 10 minutes out of your Shalayim, you see we're the minority. And you walk 10 minutes out of Israel, you see we're the minority, Sheva minority. So how lucky are we that we can be in your Shalayim, that we can learn Torah, that we have a few years to devote to becoming greater people. It's not going to last forever. Hashem has blessed every single one of you. There are not hundreds, but millions of guys your age around the world that don't have this opportunity. You have to think about it. Baruch Hashem, we had parents that had the brains to send us here. Or Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave us the brains that we're here in Yerushalayim for these precious years to grow and to build. And to build a foundation for life. It's so much to be grateful for. That's what tefillah is all about. And tshuva and tefillah, thank you. Not only asking Hashem. Of course you have to ask Hashem for everything that you need. But let's concentrate on the idea of saying thanks. And finally, tzedakah. What does it mean, tzedakah? What does it mean to think of somebody else? So I want to tell you an amazing story. Two amazing stories. Just incredible. I'll start with the one that's with me personally. Again, it's not easy to talk about, but it's something that changed my life, my hashkafa forever. I told you before that when I was 21, my father passed away. I had to leave yeshiva. I had to become a moel. My father was a moel. My grandfather was a moel. And, of course, my uncles were moelim. It's all in a family. Now, Baruch Hashem, I have a son and a son-in-law. So, it's a bad pun that it's in our blood, but, you know. But that's what it is. You know, it was just a very happy, wonderful, you know, elevating type of profession. So, but when I was 21, you know, not many people wanted to take me as a mile. And here I had to support, you know, my mother and my brothers and my sisters. I walked down my brothers and sisters, you know, together with my mother. You know how difficult that is? You know, for a mother, it wasn't difficult for me. But, you know, for my mother to walk down, you know, another child with another child, it's terrible. So in the beginning, many people didn't want to use me because they were afraid. You know, I was a kid. I was 20. I would walk into a bris and somebody would take a look at me and say, oh, you look so young. I would say, oh, the baby's also young. You know, most of the time I got away with it. I want to tell you, I'm so embarrassed because I know that there's some tapes here or whatever this being video. I want to tell you one of the worst moments of my life. Seriously. You know one of the worst moments of my life? I don't know why I'm telling it to you because I usually don't tell it over in public. A guy took one look at me at a bris and said, you are not touching my child. Get out. You know what that means? Could you believe in front of everybody, right? Well, listen, you know, today, I could look back and say I don't blame him. You know, I can understand a father is nervous. But boy, I'm telling you, I felt like Korach, like the earth had opened. Do you know what it means to walk out with your bris bang and you come home and your mother asks you, hey, what happened? You got home so quick. Ma, you're never going to believe this, you know? So I had the greatest mother, as you know. You know, and, you know, I remember she was a fabulous mother. And, you know, in the beginning when I would get, you know, when I would come home from yeshiva, or those days that I was able to be in yeshiva, I said, Ma, I got any calls? Listen to what she said. Not yet. You know what that means? Not yet means that I have confidence in you. And you're going to be able to get those calls. You remember my mother, La Shalom, of course. He remembers my father as well. Not yet. That's genius. How a mother gives chizik to a child. Not, no, you didn't get the calls, nobody's going to. Not yet. He didn't call you yet, but eventually they will. And Baruch Hashem, they did. But it took a long time. It took a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of tefillah. A lot of, so much, you know, pressure. Amazing. But anyway, so I was a year and a half old. Oh, you're going to know all these names. So Chaim Israel, remember Mr. Israel and our neighbor and our shul? So he comes over to me one day, and it's like a year after my father was Nifter, and he comes over to me and he says, here, I got something for you. It's an envelope, but obviously it's got money in it, so I said, excuse me, what is this? He says, I know you and your mother need it. So I said, I'm not a beggar. You know, we're not poor. We don't need stucco. He says, no, no, it's not stucco. I said, what is it? He says, it's a loan. I said, so when do I pay it back? He said, I will never ask you for it. Whenever you want, you pay me back. I said, okay, it's very gracious of you, but I just can't tell you. I got to ask my mother. I can't take this money without asking her. I go home and say, Ma, Mr. Israel gave us money. Hey, we're not anim. We don't need stucco. No, he says it's a loan. So she says, when do we pay it back? He says, he will never ask us for it. Whenever we want to pay it back. She says, okay, in those conditions, I'll take it. So we really did need the money. And 2 years later, I went back to his office, and I wanted to give him the money. And he says, he's not taking it. I said, Mr. Israel, you know, remember, we said that, you know, you're not going to take, that you'll take it because it's a loan. He says, sit down, I want to tell you a story. I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember that he was very wealthy, this Mr. Israel, that he lost all his money, he went bankrupt. And there was another man in our neighborhood, Mr. Lewinstein, Danny's father, who gave him, Mr. Israel, money. And Mr. Israel said, I don't need money, I'm not on money. He says, no, it's a loan. When do I have to pay it back? I will never ask you for it. He said, a couple years later, I went back to Lewinstein, Mr. Israel's telling me, and I want to give him the money. He says, he's not taking it. So I said to him, what you said to me, what do you mean you're not taking it? You said it's a loan. He says, it is a loan. What is this, Abbott and Costello? You know, it's a loan, it's not a loan. You know, you're going to pay. Who's on first? Like, what's going on there? So he says, no, you got to pay, but not me. One day you're going to find a family that needs the money, and you give them this money. And when they come to pay you, you tell them the same thing. You're not taking the money. Pass it on to somebody else. And that's what he told me. He said, I paid my loan to Mr. Lewinstein by giving you the money. Now you're going to pay me by giving somebody else the money. And the chesed continues till this day. Just want to tell you what kind of tzaddik Danny Lewinstein is. He lives in Bayit Vegan. He called me a couple years ago. He says, you know what my father did was so gracious. You know, he gave the money to Mr. Israel. But it's, you know, it's many years ago. What's $1,500 today? Could you find out along the line, you know, who got the money and where it's holding today? I want to triple it. I said, Danny, you're a big tzaddik, but there's no way I'm going to do it. Because imagine how embarrassing it's going to be if you have to go and ask all the people along the line who gave the money. Now, he's a tzaddik. It's very gracious for him to want to do that. But obviously, I wasn't going to do it. But that's tzaddik. That's tshuva tefillah tzaddik, giving out to other people. Not only thinking about yourself, thinking out of the box, doing a chesed for another person. So I just want to end just with this thing. And then we'll end with a great thought of Rabbi Akiva that I just saw in a sefer recently. And, you know, we spoke about them. The Asara Ruga Malchus, Rabbi Akiva was one of them. Just a fabulous, inspirational thought. But this idea of chesed. You know, it's very special to go in Elul, to daven by Kivrei Tzadikim. And it's mentioned in Sfarim that the Tzadikim, they know everything that's going on. And we don't daven to the Tzadikim, we daven in their schus. So the other day I took a bunch of relatives, all teenage kids, and we went to daven by Rav Moshe, and that's in Har Menuchos, it's not so far, and obviously you have to go with somebody who knows where all the various kfarim are. And then as we were about to leave, I told them that I want to take them to the kever of Rav Simcha Wasserman. Now, Rav Simcha Wasserman was the son of Rabbi Chanan, and Rabbi Kraus, Yozedi, and I were in the house in Kovna, where Rabbi Chanan was kidnapped from, and he lived a very sad life, Rav Simcha. He had no children, and he was out in L.A. He tried to build a yeshiva in L.A. He didn't have great atzlocha, and finally he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he built Aruch Hanan together with my friend, Rav Moshe Chodesh. But now listen to this. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, he got a chavrusa. You know who his chavrusa was? Some of you have heard the name Shlomo Lawrence. Shlomo Lawrence was a Chaver HaKnesset for the Agudas Yisrael. He did so many favors to many people. He was a wonderful person. And he lived in Matasdorf. So these two tzaddikim, Rabbi Shlomo Lawrence, who was a Talmud Chacham, but he was involved in Tzorchei Tzibah, and Rabbi Simcha was a great Talmud Chacham, who once told me himself, he said to me that ever since he understood what the word Simcha was, he decided he's never going to be depressed. Imagine, a person like that, never, no children, and he was not going to be depressed. And he never was. He always had a smile on his face. So they would learn every night together. Now, Rabbi Simcha Wasserman died on the second day of Cheshvan, many years ago. And shortly after he died, Rav Shlomo Lawrence said to his family, you know what? I want to change my plot. My family has a plot in Har HaZeisim, which is on the other side of the Kaisel. Now, I want to be buried right next to Rav Simcha and Har Menuchas. So the family said, why do you want to be buried next to him? We got a whole family plot. Everybody in the family is in Har HaZeisim. He said, no, no. He says, you know, who's going to go visit Rav Simcha? When he had passed away, he had no children, right? No grandchildren. So who goes to a kever? People, children, grandchildren. So nobody's going to come to him. So I would rather be buried next to him. So when my children and grandchildren come to daven next to me, so at least they'll remember that I was his chavrusa, so they'll daven by him also. And nothing that any family member could say would make him change his mind. Now listen to this, you won't believe it. He was nifter the second day of Cheshvan. 17 years later, Bogomatria Toiv, 17 years later, Shlomo Lawrence was nifty. You know what day he's nifty? You wouldn't believe. Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. Rosh Chodesh, you don't go to the Beis Olam. So when does the whole Lawrence family go to the Beis Olam? Beis Cheshvan, the Yahrzeit of Rav Simcha. Could you believe that? And I showed all the kids, the boys and the girls. I showed them, take a look. And we wiped out, the dust that was there. I said, take a look. Hey, see Beis Cheshvan? And Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan is Rav Shlomo Lawrence. But here's the most amazing thing. Your mom, you're going to get like a pit in your stomach when I tell you this, so we're going to end on an upbeat thing, but you got to hear this because it's not normal. Rebbetzin Feige Wasserman, the wife of Rav Simcha, she always said she hopes that they'll both live forever. But if they can't live forever, she said, I want to die first. That's what she said. You know why? Because I can't live one day without my Rav Simcha. We're so close, I can't live one day without him. That's what she said. And then as she got older, she told other people that told it to me. She said, I changed my mind. I hope that we both live till Mashiach. But if one of us has to die, I want him to die first. You know why? Because I'm the only one who could sit Shiva for him. I'm the only one who could give him his covered achron, his last honor. And you would not believe this. And I showed it to all the kids. He died Beis Cheshvan. She sat Shiva. And she died 2 days later. Could you believe that? Youth Beis Cheshvan, go there. Boy, that'll put something into your heart, into your mind. Go there during Elo. Go there during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Right when you come to Har Menuchos, by the Chelkei Rabbana, on the left side, you'll see Rav Simcha, you see his wife, right next to him, and you see Shlomo Lawrence, right a little bit up front. Boy, that's Tzedakah. That's reaching out to other people. That's Tshuva, Tefillah, Tzedakah. So let's review everything that we said, and we'll end with a great thought. Let's remember... Rabbi Kassenstein used to be so cute. No, that's not part of the speech, okay? He still is, by the way, okay? Let's remember, Aryeh Shog Mi La Yira. The lion roars. Elo, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Mashanah Rabbah, but we can roar back. That's what Balak told us. Ein Ov Kelavi Yakum. Let's not keep Hashem in the cage, because then we wouldn't be afraid. But even if we're there, we can always answer back. Let's remember the world was created with a hay. Why? Because... this door is always open. No matter what happened in the past, we can always make it back. Hashem's got his open arms waiting for us. That's what Elul is all about. How are we going to do it? With tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. Tshuva's inward. Let's never be angry at Hashem. We go through difficult times. Hashem's just testing us. Tefillah upward. What time? But tefillah saying thank you. And finally, tzedakah, thinking not only about ourselves, but thinking about others. I just want to end with this great thought about Rabbi Akiva. I just saw this in a sefer 2 months ago. I can't get over it. How did Rabbi Akiva change? He was 40 years old. The Gemara tells us he hated Talmid HaChamim. He said, if I could, I'd bite them like a donkey bites into a bone. But then he changed, and he saw, wait a second. Hashem showed him that there was a rock and a little drop of water every day. Drops and drops and drops and drops. And it pierced the rock and made a hole in the rock. Rabbi Akiva said, you know why I hated Talmid HaChacham? Because I was jealous of them. Because I saw they learned, and I didn't think I could learn. But this proved to me that if water constantly is drilling into that rock, one drop at a time, and it makes a hole, it can make a hole into my soul. It can make a hole into my head. Torah could go in, even a little bit at a time, and eventually it'll pierce it all the way. And that's how Rabbi Akiva changed. So this Mefarish asked the question, a great thought, I never thought about this before. How many gallons of water do you think hit that rock? Let's say if it happened 10 years, right? It took 10 years. So let's say 1,000 gallons of water, right? If you add up all the little drops. Imagine if you took a rock and put 1,000 gallons of water all on it on one shot. Would it make a hole in it? Of course not. It would just roll right off. Rabbi Akiva understood it wasn't the amount of water. It was the diligence, day after day after day, one pasuk at a time, one Rashi at a time, one piece of Gemara at a time. Can't do it in one day. You're not going to become Rabbi Yashiv in one day. You're not going to become Rabbi Chaim. You're not going to become the Rosh Hashim in one day. It all adds up, slowly but surely and eventually. And that's why, maybe, it just occurred to me this second, why is this door smaller than this floor? You know why? Because that's what Hashem wants, a little bit at a time. Just come in here, a little bit at a time. And slowly but surely, then you'll become the great person. Hashem should bench every single one of you. You should have fulfilling month of Elul and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur and Hashanah Rabbah. But even more, you should have a fulfilling life and a fulfilling stay in Eretz Yisrael. And as Rav Shaim Rav Shalom said in that great video, become Erlach, become Frum, make it in such a way that your children and grandchildren will want to continue in your great ways. Hashem should bench every single one of you. I'm loving all you guys already, and I just don't even know you yet, but I feel close to all of you. If you ever invite me back, I'll come right back. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for listening.